Basement Bookers Podcast.
What is up? It's your boys, the Basement Bookers Podcast, and I am your reigning, defending, undisputed WWE champion of the basement, Basement Chair. Before I introduce my partner here, I want to remind everyone that at WrestleMania, only three champions retained. Rhea Ripley, Logan Paul, and Basement Chair. Everyone else, including the Tribal Chief, the head of the table, have lost their titles. They've lost their championships to worthy champions. Nonetheless, here with me as always, the defeated, the most rizzest, baldest man, Rich the Riz, who, to his credit, was defeated in a spectacular fashion. Things happened that many thought wouldn't happen, but they happened. And even I acknowledge that, Rich the Riz. I acknowledge that Gunther will not lose to Braun Breaker at SummerSlam, that another intercontinental streak will not be broken at SummerSlam, a la Honky Tonk Man Ultimate Warrior. It is not to be.
Right.
How was your WrestleMania? And was it the best WrestleMania ever? And then we'll go into it.
Was it the best WrestleMania ever? That is a very, very tough question. It was a very strong contender. By the way, congratulations on your admittedly spectacular win at WrestleMania this past weekend. You did undisputedly kick my ass. So congratulations to you. Worthy champion once again.
Yes, we made spectacle on the greatest stage.
That's so right. It is clearly...
The old man would be proud. Yes. By that, I mean Triple H.
That's right. It is clearly a new era in WWE. The Logan Paul Levesque era, as I'm told, on SmackDown?
That's fake news. Also known as misinformation. We're being misinformed. And that's a problem, Logan. That's a real problem.
Logan!
He's a big star, so...
He is. Was it the best for... That is such a loaded question. I'm honestly just not prepared to answer that.
I have an idea.
Okay.
What if we went through the matches and then we figure that out?
Okay.
Because my answer... is probably going to surprise a lot of people. So we'll get into that. So let's go. I didn't mean to cut you off. Did you want to say anything else about your WrestleMania day?
A couple of WrestleMania days. No, not really. I did thoroughly enjoy the show, and we are going to... I see no reason to not go straight into it.
Okay, great. I won't even talk about my WrestleMania day. We'll just go straight into it. It's okay. Really, none of it matters because, you know, at the end of the day, no matter how I felt about the day of WrestleMania, after night two, I felt better. So let's get into the wrestling. Okay, so the first contest was... It was Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch.
That's
two
right.
Two women for the World Women's Championship. Becky Lynch was strepped, 106 or something, fever or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Rhea Ripley had like a panic attack, she said, like an hour before the match.
Oh.
Maybe it was because... You know, because of Becky's condition, she had to carry more of the match. Mm-hmm. And maybe she didn't feel she would be ready for that responsibility. Because I would assume Becky would be ring generaling that and all that. But, you know, I thought the match was fine. I didn't get to catch the intro, but the match itself was fine. It was obviously Becky was sick, so you really can't judge it on that. But even if she was, it's still a solid match. I don't do star rating because I'm not a goof. Mm-hmm. So I don't give two shits about that. It's been 5 minutes, so hopefully we'll be okay. And right on that one. That's how I felt. Becky Lynch taking some time off, and Seth also, which makes sense. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you got to take some time off. You got to go away for a little bit. You got to recharge your batteries and resuscitate.
Honestly, had I not known about, because I just found out about Rhea's panic attack, had I not known about Becky's strep throat and fever, I wouldn't have had any idea. Honestly, I thought they just delivered a solid opener.
All right. The mail has been delivered. So in the next match here, of course, my cards are not in any order. Can you tell me what the next match is? And I will click on the match.
Match two of night one was the six-pack tag team ladder match.
That's right. Look at these teams. Look at the Bruiser Catch Republic. Look at DX. Look at Awesome Truth. Look at Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. Congratulations. And Xavier Woods and the Judgment Day. Now, a lot of you know, were shocked. And, you know, one of them was Rich, who was shocked because he thought that Damian Priest and Finn Balor would be the champion still. For a second, I thought, is it possible? Because they can just take the Raw belts. But, of course, the Awesome Truth, the rightful winners, they became the Raw champions. And that was after A-Town Down Under got the SmackDown ones first.
That's right.
Noticeably, there's a bit, I don't know if people paid attention to this. At one point, Damian Priest was trying to go to get a ladder to climb. Mm-hmm. But the referee was arguing with him. Jessica Carr was arguing with him. And he shooed her off. What she was trying to tell him was, the ladder that you're trying to climb is broken.
Oh.
So that's what that was about. You'd have to watch it back to see what I mean. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll be nice and Nobby is still here. Who knows? But that's besides the point. Even with JD Mick Roblox trying to help out, it was not to be. And new. How are we feeling about it? Once again, splitting the tag team championships, who the champions are. Obviously, we know, you know, the Judgment Day thing wasn't really what you wanted. You didn't want them to lose, but hey. Mm-hmm. So
it makes sense. Like, I should have seen that. If you plan on having Damian Priest cash in his Money in the Bank briefcase and become the new World Heavyweight Champion, which I did predict, by the way, obviously wasn't part of the predictions, but I predicted it. I called it. Pretty much exactly how it happened. We'll get to that.
And yeah,
I'm sure you listened to last week's episode, so you heard that already.
You and 99% of the IWC. And I'm not including myself in that. So
you are part of the IWC, brother.
Yeah, but I meant like everyone agreed with you.
Okay.
I can't lie and say I agreed with you the whole way.
No, I know. I got you. But you are part of the IWC, so you are in that 1%.
I've always been in the top 1%. Obviously, top 1% title reigns in the history. The most prestigious Basement Booker's championship, you know, and it's important to build up a belt as the Tribal Chief has done, as I've done in WWE 2K24. Mm-hmm. See, the end of that, the Tribal Chief hires a mercenary. So it's Brock Lesnar and the Bloodline against my character. Oh, by the way, can I just say reunited Bloodline? So it's Jimmy J. Solo and Brock Lesnar. Because Roman's still gone. So then I beat Brock. And then Roman's on the screen. And then my guy's talking to Roman. But Roman's taking a long time to answer. And then it starts to play. And we all know what that means. It means I'm getting attacked from behind by Roman Reigns. Storyline-wise, if I defend my championship against Roman Reigns at night two, I surpass the Tribal Chief's champion reign, championship reign. That's how long the title reign's been going. So, and I have more defenses, for the record. Way more defenses. So, yeah, but I beat Roman, and I beat his record. So that's the storyline. Anyway, back to this. So, yeah, great shit.
Such good shit. So, like, once they set up the titles, like, separately, like, if you didn't think going in that they were going to separate them, you knew. It was weird. It was like, why even keep them together for so long?
I was with Awesome Truth the whole way.
You were?
You know, no matter what. You know, it's all about, that's where I, I'm really into storytelling. I love that stuff in everything. Is storytelling has to matter. And that's why AEW can have the best matches in the world, and I still will prefer WWE over AEW.
Right.
You can say what you want about me. I don't hate AEW. I like it as an alternative. But I really dig WWE, and I'm so glad that we stuck with them and, like, never wavered. And really, I just need to say one thing before we move on, okay? This is to Will Ospreay, bruv. I heard what you said, and I understand you felt like maybe he was referring to you and, like, you know, that he's glad that he didn't work with you because you want a light schedule. He didn't name names. He didn't say it was you. You just thought it was you because, like, I get it. It's an egocentric business. You have a big ego, and rightfully so. Me, I have a big ego, and not rightfully so. So there's a difference between the two of us, and I understand that you are a sports professional, sir. But with all due respect, that has got to be the lamest, oldest dunk on Triple H ever. Like, who hasn't used that? Like, it's very disappointing to me that you couldn't come up with something better. If you can't do something good, don't bother. Just ignore it. It's all just noise. The work is what matters. The work that you're doing.
Yeah.
Like, even Renee looked embarrassed for you. Like, you're just, it's sad. Okay? It's just sad.
I'm with you on that one because it's 2024. That's like literally a 20-year-old burn.
Dude, it was going on like as soon as that stuff happened. We were all talking that shit, you know? But come on, dog. Like, seriously, bruv. You're way better than that.
And not for nothing, Triple H is kind of killing the business right now.
Not in the way that the Young Bucks are, though.
No, because, yeah. like, Triple H has set it on fire, whereas they, like, killed it. Like, this sucks now.
Triple H, along with The Rock, to be honest. You can't really... And Roman, there's a lot. So, I guess if there's no more about the tag match, RIP Judgment Day tag team of Finn Balor and Damian Priest, it's probably going to be JD McDonagh and Finn Balor now. If that's what I would do. Let's go. Yeah, right?
Yeah. It's Priest, JD, and Finn. Dom, I think, is going to separate. And I'm not sure how they're going to do it exactly.
It's coming.
They're certainly working towards it.
They're going to break up. All right. Let's get down to brass tacks. Let's get down. I think this is incorrect.
Speaking of Dirty Dom, he was in match 3.
Good job there, buddy. I had to...
Got you, bro.
That's this match here. Admittedly, the one match I got wrong was this match. And honestly, I think if it If it was actually this match and not the revised one with Andrade, I think I would have got it. I think they changed it when they changed the guys.
They did.
So, yeah. Needless to say, those fake sports playing hacks got heat with Basement Jer. As soon as I saw that, I was like, what are they doing there? Why isn't Carlito doing something I want him to do? And it just fell apart for me. I overbooked myself into a corner. I should have just trusted my instincts and switched it. But I'm like, no, it's fine.
Yeah. And that, you know, that the Kelsey brother and whoever that other guy was, just biggest luchadors ever.
If a luchador could move that big, quick, and be that big, they'd be the world heavyweight champion.
Brian Cage.
Brian Cage has recently signed an extension with AEW, multi-year contract.
Good for him. I hope he gets a good push.
Anything else on the Mysterio versus Mysterio part three?
I feel like it was just a way to get these two football guys involved, and they're putting off the Carlito thing. I guess maybe they didn't want so many like pivotal moments and feuds to start and or end that night.
That's true. That is true. Now, if I'm correct here, is the next match the six-man ladies?
Nope. Bruv versus Bruv.
That's night one?
That's night one.
Okay. Yeah, that match was kind of shit. Well, let me put it up there first before I say anything about it. I know I have it here somewhere. Well, you know what? I guess I'll add it in post because for some reason it's not here. I could have sworn we went through it in predictions. But yeah, so it's missing. Insert picture of Jimmy J.J. Jimmy. Listen, it was the Jimmy J. Jimmiest J's of all. I just feel like Jay was doing his best there. Like, I met with, like, for what this match was supposed to be, brother versus brother, it didn't feel like a WrestleMania match. You know, it felt like a high-quality Raw anniversary match, you know? And I think Jimmy, like, Jay carried it, but Jimmy is, like, I guess trying to do serious stuff is like a plank of wood. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not, I wasn't feeling it. I don't know. What are you thinking, man, here? What do you reckon here?
I feel like the match didn't come off well because they didn't get enough time. I'm looking at the Wikipedia here. It is tied for the second shortest match on WrestleMania Night 1 at 11 minutes and 5 seconds. They definitely could have used at least another 5 minutes. We know these two brothers could have told a much better, much more intricate story in the ring than what they clearly had to rush through WrestleMania Night 1.
These are so those situations, man.
Right. So we can't blame them, but we could have gotten better.
You're not going to like what you're about to hear, but what I have to say is the truth as how I see it. And I got to say, I really thought it was longer than 11 minutes because I felt like it took forever for me. Like, I just wasn't into it. I don't know. Maybe I was busy exploding from earlier or something. Like, my energy was, like, down, but I'm like, this isn't doing it for me. It's not really, like, I'm not, like, a super kick guy. You know, so that kind of like, so you're going to do something else or like, I know there's a spear and then this, you know, the usual, the hip thing and that, all the Samoan stuff. But like, I gotta be honest. Like, I can't make fun of the Young Bucks. Right. And they're just, it's the same kind of shit, you know? So. That's just my feeling. Like, no, I like them. I like both guys. It's just like, as usual for me and for us, it's like, it's the match itself. It just wasn't it. I just thought, you know. No.
With all the super kicks we saw, I thought we were going to see a V-trigger.
I would have been shocked, but you know, pleasantly, I guess, okay with it. I wouldn't be upset, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, well, Rich, was the, what's the next one here?
Next was the six woman tag team match, the WrestleMania debut of Jade Cargill.
See, the Nubian Goddesses versus the Kabuki Warriors and the Dakota Kai. Look, no one's surprised by any of this. It was academic. Like, honestly, if you were to just take a picture, like, line them up, and it's just like, just out-muscled and out-speeded. Just in, well, no, not speed, endurance, you know, strength, endurance. And just, it was a massacre, honestly, and mercifully, it went the right amount of time, I thought.
That was, let me see. Sorry, I saw a computer.
Excuse me?
8 minutes. 8 minutes and 5 seconds.
Ocho minutos. El ocho.
Shortest match on night one. The shortest advertised match overall of the weekend.
Speaking of night one, it's time, Rich Torres. It's time to talk about, is this the greatest tag team match ever? Right?
Not just yet.
What do you mean? What's next?
IC title.
That's the same night?
Yeah, it was a big night. There were 7 matches.
Man, so the shorter one was night two, mercifully.
Yeah, even though there was the same amount of total matches, but only 6 were advertised for night two.
All right, this one is great. Look, we all know who won. It started out with a whisper. It started out when he kissed her. And Sami Zayn's wife was there, his little kid, you know, and then there was Kevin Owens, which Sami Zayn did not know was going to be in Gorilla. So that was like, oh, my God, look at this. And then it went. And this match was, there's a situation here. After, like, I think, like, the third time I thought Sami Zayn died, I was like, I got this in the bag.
Mm-hmm.
Because at this point, what else is he supposed to do here? You know, the point, the thing is, this weekend, a lot of hubris costed people. A lot of sins costed people. Obsessions costed people. This time, Gunther underestimated. He was prideful. He had too much pride. He was boasting. He was feeling good about the pain in Sami Zayn's wife's face. What he was doing, what he was doing. Michael Cole was like, stop the match, damn it.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's like, say the ref's name. And I was sitting there and I'm like, if somebody throws in the towel, I'm going to be so pissed off. I was so happy that his wife didn't have a towel in her hand or anywhere near her or in a bag or something. I'm like, don't do this dumb shit. But what they did was the right thing. After a brainbuster off the top rope, and was it 2 hell of a kicks?
Yep.
It happened. The 3 count came down. I jumped up, even though I chose Sami Zayn, to see it actually happen. It was incredible. I thought I was going to have to change my clothes, but I maintained composure. Because I didn't sweat that much.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get so sweaty that I would have to change my clothes. Okay? And it didn't happen that way. He did it. But now that he's done it, Rich DeRiz. Is there anything you wanted to add about the match itself that wasn't said by me?
Just that brainbuster off the top, I saw that and I cringed because not that it looked like anyone got injured, but it just is so seemingly dangerous to do, to like drop your opponent like on the ropes like that the way he did. You gotta be careful.
I like the idea of it. I think it's meant to look that way because that knocked Gunter's brain loose. And then, because he was dazed enough where, like, he's the ring general, he would know a Helluva kick is coming. Mm-hmm. But, like, because his brain is rattled, time goes by differently when you're in the fog.
Yeah.
You understand? So he think he's going to have enough time to get up, but it wasn't enough. Then the Helluva kick comes and it knocks him again. Mm-hmm. So already, picture you spinning around in your computer chair and you have to play Fortnite. After you got hit by a blast of your weapon.
Mm.
And then you're just by the time, and again, with the second one, he's on his back.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, he is not of this plane. The world has fallen away.
Mm-hmm.
And before you know it, he's like, what happened? Why are they playing Sami Zayn's music? Did I get disqualified? You know what I mean? He doesn't know. He doesn't know. He's got to ask. He needs people to tell him what happened. He's actually going to have to watch it back.
Yeah.
Okay. He thought that he was stronger than Sami Zayn is tough.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what led to the downfall of the Ring General.
Right. Toughness is an interesting quality in wrestling because it's about how badly you can get beaten up before you finally succumb to your injuries and get pinned or tapped out. So it's like the defensive stat, which is it's not talked about a whole lot. I feel like it's not talked about enough. Sami Zayn's toughness, top tier, S tier.
Gunter was going to have to kill Sami Zayn.
Mm-hmm.
I think Sami Zayn might have said that, but I'm putting it into his mouth. He might have said that, but it doesn't matter. He proved that he would have had to. It's implied that Gunter would have had to kill Sami Zayn.
Yeah, in front of his wife and kids, no less.
Yes, and Gunter would do that. He would do that without a second thought. He would say, if he dies, he dies. He would say that. He would mean it.
If he dies, he dies.
Well, now that we are emotionally ready, it's time for the main event.
Mm-hmm.
And a match that I thought, what's stopping The Rock from making that Bloodline rules? And I was proven to be sort of correct. Outside of any kind of interference, this was a Bloodline rules match.
Yeah, at some point, Rock told the ref. Yeah, Rock told the ref, if you count it, you're fired.
Which is what I think informed the main event selection of official, because it was Charles Robinson.
Mm.
And he's not one of those guys, you know, like.
Yeah. It's like, I'll retire, man.
It's like, I'm good, bro.
I'll go home.
I'm good. You know, I may live alone, but I got PlayStation and also a computer probably.
And so, all those memories of all the women's matches he reffed.
That's right. Many attacks by Charlotte Flair. Those hands have graced his face, I'm pretty sure. So,
Ooh. Yeah.
Was it the best tag team match ever?
It was certainly high billing, and it was top tier. It was up there.
A lot happened.
A lot did happen, just because, like, there was so much riding on this match. As we know, like, literally the main event of night two was riding on this match.
I mean, no one, I gotta say, everybody had to have known that Roman Reigns and The Rock were gonna win. The Rock was not gonna lose.
Right.
The Rock won the match.
Yeah.
Even after Roman speared The Rock, a people's elbow. A rock bottom and a people's elbow.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, all the fixins.
That's right. We had the outside stuff, all the through-the-crowd stuff. You know, give the people what they want, give them their money's worth, send them home happy or whatever. And
Seth Rollins had to know this was going to be the worst weekend of his WrestleMania career. Like, he finally gets to main event WrestleMania with Cody Rhodes against The Rock and Roman Reigns.
But he got a Rolex.
You know, if he did get a Rolex, and the Rolex comes into play into conversations we'll be having. But what I was going to say, I was thinking about this after night two. I'm wondering if Roman would have pinned Seth Rollins instead, it would have prevented what happened on Sunday. We'll talk about that, because I don't want to skip ahead, but I want to make sure that you remember that, because there's something important I want to talk about there. Okay.
You obviously saw something I didn't, so I can't wait to hear about it.
Well, we'll talk about it. So, Rich, what do you do you have anything else you want to say about the tag team match? I don't want
to. The tag team match delivered. Night one was strong, beginning to end. Tough act, with the exception of, and I'm sorry, Jimmy and Jay, you weren't given enough time, but with the exception of that match, it was, night one was a tough act to follow.
Yeah, it sure was, buddy. And there's only one way to follow that up. And
night two.
We follow it up with night two.
That's right.
Night two, we got the World Heavyweight Championship. We figured it would open up the show. And, you know, of course, they all gave us the card, so we should know that. I don't know why I said that. Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre. Now, we all picked Seth Rollins to lose. Drew McIntyre won with many Claymore kicks. And at one point, I was like, it might be time for a new finisher, Drew. Because I really thought after hitting that one shot right there, that would have been a wrap. But apparently not. Seth, you gotta use fire. You gotta burn him, and then you have to like cast his ashes into the wind.
Gotta burn him down, brother.
And only then will Stow receiveth the three count. Only then. And even then, he'd be able to leave under his own power with a tear in his eye. Drew McIntyre said this was going to be the easiest match of his career. He was texting. He was tweeting. Bored at work. LOL. But nonetheless, DM Hunk could not refuse himself. He could not leave. After finally celebrating with his wife, letting her touch the belt, instead of leaving, he decides he wants to rub it in CM Punk's face. And predictably, it did work out too good. Drew got his leg swept out, and he got beat up with
the brace
that he's wearing on the outside of his suit, which... I get it, but that's not how it works. It should be on you. Like, shouldn't it be?
Would it fit under the arm of the suit? I don't think so.
So it would fit over it?
Yeah.
He wore it over it. So why wouldn't it fit under it?
Because the suit is more tailor-fitted to the arm. But braces are big.
Like, directly on your arm, though. And I meant not, like, with the cushion of your suit you're wearing. Because it's on the outside of his suit.
Yeah, like, he appeared on the interview like that.
I know, but, like, shouldn't it be, like, closer to your actual arm?
No, it's still on the arm. The range of motion isn't that greatly affected. I'm sorry to disagree with you here.
You don't have to disagree with me. I'm just asking questions. I don't know how the thing works. Like, I don't know.
On the suit jacket like that. It'll strap. It straps to here, and to here, and here, and here. It doesn't have to be directly on the arm. If it's on the clothes, as long as the straps are tight, it's doing its job.
Okay. It just looks uncomfortable, I guess. I don't know. But that's not the point. It doesn't matter. It's not like he fucking needed it. So he used it to beat him up. And then, just like the meme, You know, CM Punk turns around and it's Judgment Day. Same camera angle, everything. Mm-hmm. And then comes Damian Priest and he cashes in the Money in the Bank briefcase. And we haven't had a Puerto Rican champion since Pedro Morales. Mm-hmm. So he did it, y'all. It happened. And, you know, he said that he was homeless. Mm-hmm. And then he wasn't. And now he's the champion. He started from the bottom. Then he's there. He was here, but there, but now he's there. You know what I'm saying? And that's really what it's all about. Triple H making dreams come true.
It's a crazy story. Like, I hope they do some sort of like documentary that follows his life.
I'd like to wait because until he turns face, I don't care. Like, I need to boo him. I need to not, you know what I'm saying? I need my heels to be heels.
Nah, you're right. You're right.
So once that's fine. He's already likable. I mean, they call him the bisexual Undertaker. It was trending. He doesn't even get it. He's like, I don't know, man. I don't know what that's about.
I feel like, honestly, Dom is the only real heel in Judgment Day. Dom and maybe JD.
No, JD is not a face.
Yeah, Dom and JD are the only real heels. Finn's there. Rhea's a face. Priest is a face.
Finn just likes to hang out, you know. He's that guy. He's like, he should really move on in life, but he's like really cool with hanging out with the fellas, you know, because he just likes to hang. He's not really about, he's not really that beat up about losing the tag team championships. He's going to try to get it back with JD. I have a feeling they're going to feud with one another. So, Rich, let's you know, congratulations to CM Punk on screwing Drew McIntyre twice in the same week. Mm-hmm. We now know that the number one contender to Damian Priest's World Heavyweight Champion is main event Jey Uso. I really had Drew winning that, but whatever. Backlash is looking good so far with because I think AJ is going to beat LA Knight, and we're going to have AJ Styles, Cody Rhodes at Backlash, just to cut ahead. That's a dream match. That's a Cody Rhodes dream match, and it's heel versus face. Like, I'm not interested in LA Knight versus Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes is a face. LA Knight's a face. It doesn't make sense to put your babyface champion against LA Knight in France. Sorry.
You're right.
What are you going to split the crowd for? Are you crazy? You want your standard boo this man, cheer this man. And AJ is going to have to play dirty for the next 3 weeks or so, or 2 weeks or so. So,
you know how old AJ Styles is?
47. 46. Nice.
I just asked the Google earlier while I was watching SmackDown, and I'm like, I want to be AJ Styles when I grow up. That means I have 2 years to get that ripped.
Well, you know, you got to believe in yourself. You got to put in the work. You already don't have bread, so you're really halfway there. So, you know, really do what you can. Sacrifice what you must. Take all the testosterone therapy you need. You might need TRT at your age. You should get that checked, actually. You could check your testosterone levels and see if you need, like, to take anything. Because, like, when you get older, if you're really trying to do that, you should think about that. It's legal. You know, you can check your testosterone levels. Check with your physician. So not a doctor. So anyway, what was I talking about? AJ Styles. So yeah, it's AJ Styles, Cody Rhodes, I'm pretty sure. Like, just not to cut ahead. But anyway.
Now, do they talk about Bullet Club?
It's just gonna come up. It's gotta. You can't, we're in a new timeline here. This is a new
Cody's been doing it.
Yeah, so He's gonna explain it to them probably in a promo or something.
Yeah.
So after Drew McIntyre valiantly won the championship and pathetically lost the championship, we had, if I'm being correct here, the 6-person tag team match.
That's right, the Philly Street Fight.
Philly Street Fight. This was for all the solo cups in the arena. It was close, but we did have foul play. It's all legal, but we did have Bubba Ray Dudley, referee, special guestedly. Mercifully, we had Snoop Dogg out there for just not that long, thankfully. So, you know, he was there. He was there.
He already played life.
Right? He was like two matches, right? He did the... No, it was one match, right?
One match, and then he appeared later doing something else. I don't remember.
All right. Great. So he was here for this, and it was fine, you know, with the Snoopy Dog there. Whatever. Bobby Profits. Scarlett and B-Fab went through a table. It was hard to tell who actually suffered from that. I think they both just took each other out.
Yeah, it was a two-for-one.
So it was a two-for-one special. And, yeah, Bobby Profits and the final testament demoted down to NXT. So, there's that.
Oh.
Yeah, did you not see?
Nope.
Well, they're down there now. They're that damn good. You know, they got to, you know, they got to show those tag teams down there who the boss is, you know? Yeah, let's get more positive. Was it AJ and LA Knight next?
Yeah.
All right. Great. This is easy from here. There they are, LA Knight and AJ Styles. And look, the megastar came out in this Slim Jim truck car. Mm-hmm. He gave away the Slim Jim car keys. What? He got in the ring. What? AJ came out. What? New entrance. What? How do we feel about that?
I liked it. I liked the new entrance. The car.
The new AJ.
Definitely. The car. I hope it's like not in the contract that they have to keep it painted the way it is, because just paint it.
You know? I bet it's like for like a certain amount of time. Because it's like free advertisement, you know what I'm saying?
It is. I mean, it's expensive advertisement because it's a car, but...
Yeah, you're still getting a free car. Hopefully they pay the insurance. Anyway, that's something to think about.
Like, the match delivered as we knew it would, because, like, these two guys, they know each other very well from their time in TNA together. And Dan Engler, formerly known as Rudy Charles, was the ref for this match.
That's right. And, you know... he's got a lot of history, Don Tootin. Listen, now it's time to move on to the women's championship match. What? Oh, they did the triple threat first, then the women's championship.
Triple threat, women's title.
No, it's a triple threat match for the United States championship.
Then the women's title.
All right, yeah. There was no triple threat women's championship. I would have known.
I mentally put a comma in there, but you couldn't see the comma that I put in there mentally. Because
well, I can't see it. Okay, so Kevin Owens, Logan Paul, Randy Orton. Great. I got really pissed off when I had to see a YouTube person in there again.
But it was Show Speed. He's good.
Is he, though?
Yes, I like him. You should watch his Fortnite videos.
No. He's not. I don't like that kind of streamer. He's just a screamy guy, isn't he? He's like a... He reacts to shit.
He's funny. I think he's funny.
I don't know. He's just, I don't, I guess at that point, you're younger than I am. To me, it's like, get off my lawn, you kids. Get out of here. I'm out here with your antics and breaking your setups. That pisses me off. It's very disrespectful to the hardworking child slaves and wherever making those things that you just smash all willy nilly.
That's right. And speaking of influencers, real quick. You know, in New York City, you're using a tripod on the street, you got to have a permit for it. Cut the shit or get a permit.
Not a cop. All right. So, moving right along, I like this match. Even though it was academic, although the brass knuckles really didn't win the match for him.
Nope.
It was the craftiness that won the match for him.
Mm-hmm.
I would be remiss if we didn't mention... Was it the Swanton into a frog splash? He did something into a frog splash.
There was something cool.
It was like one thing. It was a flip into a frog splash or something. Or maybe it was a frog splash into the flip. I don't remember. But I'm not a young man anymore.
Right.
So we'll be corrected. That's a great way to drive engagement. You know, people like to sound off in the comments and call you dumb.
Yep, let us know down below. We're not dumb. We're just old and forgetful.
Yeah, we did get to record right after, so we got to go off of what we remember from that spectacular night. Also, I'm a few brain cells short. This is really late in the week. Let's go and really acknowledge and clap for these guys. They all did a tremendous job. Move on to the women's championship match. My girl Bailey versus Io Sky, who, you know, Io Sky doesn't get a lot of credit. Well, actually, she does. She's really good. But it was Bailey's destiny. I liked her new music. I like her haircut. I like that she was carried in. I'm wondering, I don't know what was going on. Is this like a Yu-Gi-Oh tribute? I don't know. But, you know, good on her. I appreciate that she won. It was the rose plant. She had to, like, do it twice, I think.
Yep.
And that was a wrap. It was good, though. It was good business, that match was.
Yeah, I agree. It was a good, solid match. Let me see. I want to tab back to the match to see how long
Io was so mean.
Yeah. I was 14 minutes and 20 seconds. Third longest match of the evening.
Yep.
Behind the triple threat and the obvious main event.
So, and to follow that up, we're going to have a new number one contender, Tiffany Stratton or Naomi. There was a match. Rich, would you like to do the honors?
Well, this match was scheduled for one fall, and it was Naomi.
As it should have been. So, we're going to have Naomi and Bailey at France's Backlash, right?
Yes, in Lyon.
Excellent, excellent. Speaking of, we probably should have spoke about this during the women's tag team match, but I think we're about to have new women's tag team champions. Because Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair teamed up against Piper Niven
and Chelsea.
And Chelsea Green.
Former women's tag champs in their own right.
There is no team on the roster, including the Kabuki Warriors, that can beat them. Unless Bayley and Rhea Ripley teamed up. Maybe. But I'm just being realistic. Like, there's no tag team that can beat them.
Indy and Candice are either about to break up or Indy's turning heel.
It does, even if they were.
Right.
You don't even have to break them up. Even if they were. Like, right. That's why I said Rhea Ripley and Bayley would have to team up. Any combination of women, I don't think, have much of a chance against those two, the way they've been built. Like, not so much Jade as Bianca is.
Yeah.
Because if not being the champion, she's, like, right there, like, the third. Like, yeah, if there was a mid-card women's championship, that would be her belt. You know what I'm saying?
Which reminds me.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. We got a lot to do here, dude. It's almost an hour, and we're talking about WrestleMania. So.
A lot on our plates. You're right. You are right.
I want to give this the proper amount of time here.
Yeah, I agree. The team of Jaden and Bianca would be very, very tough to beat.
Okay,
so
excellent.
They're going to face Kabuki Warriors at some point.
Right. So, Rich. Now that we are satisfied with the rest of the WrestleMania matches, let's talk about the main event. This is a hard match to talk about. I get emotional just thinking about this match. Mm-hmm. Roman Reigns is now the former WWE Undisputed Champion. The Undisputed WWE Champion.
Universal is gone, by the way.
I know that.
Okay.
Now, I got to say, and I remember saying this, when it's all over, we're all going to say we lived through the time of the tribal chief. And now we got to throw it up. But don't worry. We got to talk about this match. It was Bloodline Rules, the tribal chief versus Cody Rhodes, the entrances, Cody with the Triple H tribute. He's got the skull mask, his own, like, American Nightmare mask. Brandy's out there with him. It's kind of similar. You know, it was good to see her. and I like the flag there. I saw that flag. I'm like, we won. We won. Like, I felt, I'm like, we won. He's going to win because it's the last stand. It's the last chance. The Rock said he will never get another chance. So I went in there, and part of me's like, this is it. This is it. And part of me was like, this is it. This is the end.
Right.
You know, it was like two universes. In one universe, I'm with the Tribal Chief. In another universe, I'm with Cody Rhodes. And that is the Prime universe. Not sponsored by Prime, but Prime as in main universe.
Right. We had not one, but two stories finished in that match.
Two
Although
stories.
There clearly is a sequel coming to the Bloodline.
Yes, and that's going to factor into what we speak on. It was much interference. Jimmy Uso. Jay takes care of him. Solo comes out. And there was a bit with Solo and Roman where Solo's like, get up, come on. And he's like, and Roman's like, I know. That was pretty funny. Like actual frustration. He's like, I know what I'm doing.
That's good.
And then rabble do. John Cena just down there takes a whoop into Solo and puts him through the table. And it's not just that. If you smell, and The Rock comes out. The Rock beelines it. That is The Rock, then John Cena. They're doing the left and the right thing. And then The Rock just kicks the shit out of John Cena. Rock bottom, John Cena. Get out of my ring. And then what should have been glass shatters. After we talk about this, I got a message for Stone Cold Steve Austin.
What?
That's right. So The Undertaker's there, and The Undertaker takes The Rock to hell because the lights go out, and they're just gone.
He took his soul.
Some might argue that The Rock has too much mana to have a soul. I don't think you can have both.
Maybe he took his mana.
Oh, my God. He drained his mana. All right. So.
Mana tap.
It wasn't just that. You see, The Rock was God, but Roman had a chair still. And he was going to use that chair. But Sierra Hotel. I may have got the timeline wrong, but still. We're waiting for Seth. We're looking for Seth. And Seth comes in to get just laid out by a chair. I think the was it The Rock that hit
Seth,
with a
Seth was already like so Seth was like laying down, I think like at ringside. And Roman's like on his way
before.
Yeah, and he's Roman with the chair is on his way to the ring, but then sees Seth.
Yes. And what happens here is what cost Roman Reigns the match. It was his obsession. Was Seth Rollins. The fact that he still can't get over his trauma. Now, people keep acting like this is the first time that Roman's got to get Seth back for this. It's not. He did this when he was disqualified. After he was disqualified against Seth Rollins, that same shot happened again. It's not like this was his first time. Right. This is not a 10-year-old wound. Unless he's still smarting over it, because that's what I was thinking about.
When you stab someone in the back, proverbially, the way Seth did, they say one good turn deserves another, but sometimes in cases like that, you gotta hammer that point home. You don't turn on Roman.
Yeah. You know, but one might argue if he had his head on his shoulders, he'd still be the champ and he would still be able to hit Seth after. There's no stopping him from doing whatever he wanted to Seth Rollins after that. Right. But his obsession consumed him. Mm-hmm. And as my question was from this, what if Roman had pinned Seth at night one, mm-hmm. would he have been able to beat Cody? Because he wouldn't have, would he have still went after Seth with the chair even after getting him the night before? Or would he still want more revenge and still make the same decision?
Mm,
that's where I was like, what if?
You know, there's a whole another universe where you change that one specific of that match and the whole card of night two is different.
Yeah.
Everything is different after that.
Yeah.
It's butterfly effect.
Yeah, but it was not to be, for we are in the main universe.
That's right. Every universe is the prime universe because
three crossroads.
Hmm.
You know what, though? Roman does a really good crossroads.
Yeah.
That was a really, really good crossroads.
Mm-hmm.
I'd argue it's better than Cody's, but I might have a bias. Listen, Roman Reigns lost. I feel like a lot of us was thinking, even me picking Cody, thought he was going to kick out.
Mm.
But it was over, dude. Roman lost. He was emotional when he left. But I've got news for you guys who don't pay attention to social media.
Mm.
The tribal chief posted yesterday, we mourned. And then he's put today is day one, and he's on the treadmill.
Nice.
I think we are going to get the most jacked Roman Reigns we've ever gotten. Like, he's going to come back, and this ties into the bloodline drama.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, what Paul Heyman said about wins means something here. I really hope that puts Solo into perspective,
because
he's been a loser ever since John Cena.
Yeah.
And I got another message before we get to Solo. Mm-hmm. Don't think I didn't forget about you, Steve Austin.
What?
How much money do you need? No disrespect to The Undertaker, but it would have been a million times better to hear that glass shatter and see the final boss sell a Stone Cold Stunner. The only way the final boss can sell a Stone Cold Stunner. I was so hot, because I knew it deep down. It was a money thing. And then to have that confirmed, allegedly. But come on, what else could it be? What else are you doing? How much money do you really need, bro?
Crazy.
You must be getting that fallout shelter ready for when the nukes fall.
Yeah.
What? I got to have my underground ranch. What? Vault 316. What? That's what I'm calling it. What? My life fallout. What? Anyway.
That's unfortunate, because to me, Taker kind of didn't make sense there.
I know he's got history with The Rock, but it's not the same history. It just doesn't pop as much.
Right. It's Rock Austin.
Yeah, I know some people love The Undertaker, but it's not Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock. Undertaker, The Rock is not Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock.
Right. It's like it's the wrong person in the wrong role. It's like casting a young Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, as a tooth fairy.
So, now that we're past that, Solo, you are a dumb fuck. Why would you buy this one? Like, I get you're pissed at Jimmy, but why does it need to just be two of you now that we have surprise Tama Tonga? Surprise, everybody. Son of Haku.
Yeah. So, a lot of hype on WWE TV about this kid, and I like it. They told the story. Son of Haku, that means a lot in this industry.
And everybody saw Paul Heyman's Hall of Fame speech. So if you don't know about Haku, and he says he's a killer, he's a killer. So his son, I'm not a New Japan guy, so this is all new to me, and I'm like, I'm on board with it. But does Solo think he's the tribal chief?
Allegedly, it came from Roman, the tribal chief, that losses have consequences.
He
Jimmy
said,
lost.
Yeah.
Jimmy's out.
Roman lost.
Now, you know what else Tama Tonga ties into? You say you're not a New Japan guy. I'll just tell you.
Bullet Club.
Right. So
I know a little bit.
So there's a whole nother set of potential overlapping, a whole nother set of potential angles and storylines they can do.
They better not act like they don't know each other. I'm going to be very upset. Like, come on, we all know. All right?
Yeah. Like if the bloodline passes the Good Brothers in the hall, even if there's no words spoken between them, Heyman's talking to the camera, I want to see Tama Tonga two sweet them as he walks by. That's it. That's all it has to be.
I mean, did they end on good terms?
Got it. Probably. Who knows? Kind of doesn't matter.
Like, I don't keep up with that. Remember, don't people get beat up out of things sometimes and people take over from people?
Yeah.
You know,
wrestling.
It's not always peaceful.
It's not. Like, wrestling sometimes has a short memory, though.
Yeah, but you can't just have them know each other and not, like, remember, like, if something major happened. You know what I mean? It's kind of a big deal. So, I guess I'm going to have to use Wikipedia. Cody Rhodes addressed the Cody Nation Monday and Friday. Nice little video package. We're trying to, you know, move it along here. Nice little video package there. Cody's, you know, he's a babyface. You know, he's got the belt. Listen, we don't need the Winged Eagle. That belt's fine with the nightmare plates. And he's talking about, while he's doing media, about he wants to change the belt or whatever. It's like their headquarters has like a giant replica of the belt that costs money. And they made all these championships with all these teams on them. And you're talking about making another belt?
They could probably just release another special edition.
Yeah, but that costs money, dude. Like, how about we sell what we have?
No, I know,
and then,
like,
we can start making more shit.
These things sell.
It's already in front of the headquarters. It's the symbol. Mm-hmm. You know, you're
wearing
the symbol.
They don't need to change the belt he has. They could just release a special edition, limited edition maybe, to however many Cody Rhodes special edition WWE championship. Never show it on TV except to advertise it. Like, it won't actually be his title.
All right. Well, that's not what I meant, but that's fine. I meant not making a different championship that you have to match all these other championships to. You know, just don't do that. Because then it just takes it, you know, if I buy a replica belt that's got, like, Yankees on it for some reason. First of all, why? I don't understand these. Like, they don't wrestle. They're baseball players. They don't. Like, I get you want to give them a belt. Like, if the team wins the World Series or whatever, and they're rocking the belt, that's great. But, like, a fan of the team?
I'd say you've never seen wrestling before. You go to a Yankee game, you see a guy with this big Yankees belt. Damn, dude, that's fucking crazy. Where'd you get that? Oh, WWEshop.com. What's that? Oh, it's, you know, the shop for WWE. What's that? Pro wrestling. You should fucking check it out. Here you go. And there you go. It's marketing.
Yeah,
and they make a ton of money off it.
That's rich people marketing. Not that I'm not.
Not lying.
You know, it is. People go to shows with those. I wouldn't bring my belt to a show, first of all.
Yeah.
Because then if somebody has a referee, what am I supposed to do? I don't have. I'm not ready for that.
Forget about it. Yeah. Like, I brought mine to, like, one, maybe two shows, but it's a pain to schlep.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not driving, it's a pain to slap.
Yeah, exactly. And Drew McIntyre frowns upon it. He's like, you didn't beat anybody for it.
Well, he doesn't have to worry about carrying a belt to any shows.
No, not for a long time. So, was there anything you wanted to... Oh, yeah, we still have to... God damn it. All right, so we talked about Bruv. Let's talk about our reaction to the video. Now, I argue that it doesn't make CM Punk look bad at all. It makes Jack Perry look like a bitch. And from what I see of the video, CM Punk was telling the truth. Because he says it does look like he went first. But he did say there's space. So Jungle Boy got in his face. That's what he said. And you don't let anybody get in that space is what Punk learned. And that's why he went first.
And the first physical interaction was Punk shoving.
Yeah.
That is not an attack. I mean, I don't know the intention, but if he's saying he got in his face, a shove is the way to get someone out of your face when you don't want to back up.
Yeah. It's a whole man thing, you know, you got to shove.
Right. Like, optics are important. Like, someone steps into your face, there's three things you do about it. You hit them, you shove them, you back up. All three of those send a different message.
Like, they went viral. Is that what they got out of it? Like, it just doesn't look good. You know what I mean?
People, I think they
should stop answering and stop referencing WWE and stop, like, it's really weird to me how you, like, you got to keep saying, yeah, this is the best place to be, guys, and getting on Twitter like a memo went out to all the employees. Hey, go out there and defend where you work.
Right.
How about you let the work speak for itself? Like, who gives a shit? Stop caring about what they say about you and just prove them wrong doing your thing. You put your head down and stick to it. Like, fuck them.
But so the thing I noticed on SmackDown, and I promise I'm not actually changing the subject here. How closely were you watching, like, the last couple segment or two when when Kevin Owens was walking out?
When the camera angles follow him.
Right. So he got to the merch stand, right?
Okay.
He grabbed the belt for the Detroit Tigers.
Okay.
And then he shoved the CM Punk shirts off the table.
He's in character. He doesn't like CM Punk.
And he's also best friends with the Bucks.
Okay.
I feel like that was him saying, hey, guys, you guys are right. Or that's just him taking sides.
No, I didn't read too much into that. I think that's just him being himself. Like, those are his friends. The reason Cody and the Elite happen is because of Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
True.
Kevin Owens is a loyal guy. And even he's even said that he's not a CM Punk guy. He doesn't, like, he's made that openly clear. You know, it's not a secret.
Right.
So, hey.
I
don't think it has anything to do with that, but
maybe not. But I mean, just the timing of it was interesting.
Yeah, they shouldn't have aired that like that. It's kind of lame, honestly.
Like,
need to hear Edge in front of a half-filled audience telling me that I have to care. Okay.
Yeah. The video didn't show a lot. Maybe
it really wasn't anything. Like, I don't know what their point was there. There really wasn't anything. There's no there.
So it's a lot like the Tony Khan announcements.
If it was evidence of a crime, they wouldn't air it on TV. You didn't do anything wrong.
It's hey, let's spike the ratings this way. And
do you see the screenshots of Tony Schiavone just looking ashamed?
Yeah.
Like, he's like, oh, this is so stupid. I can't believe you're doing this.
Huh, I'll put butts in seats.
No, it was almost like Bash at the Beach.
No, I know, but like the stunt. It's not gonna put butts in seats. You spiked the TV ratings. The one.
Did you see what happened to Mercedes Moné?
I saw something about that she got like attacked and she was like
the noise she was making when she was on the ground. Was like,
I missed
geez.
It. No.
Yeah. It looked like she might have been having a good time. But she wasn't having a good time. She was injured. I don't know. I only saw a clip because I really didn't get to finish Dynamite because I fell asleep last night. But and that's not about Dynamite. I should be watching TV late anyway. But this digresses. Anything else? We spoke about the Punk thing.
Spoke about Punk. A lot of people.
Pretty important. Yeah. Manny wanted to know, and that's what we think. It was really, you know, they shouldn't have done it. And they did it. And Punk's fine. He didn't
do anything. They spiked the ratings and did nothing to really, it didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
That's that.
Yep. Well, you know, what else is that?
This?
Soon. I just wanted to talk about Monday. We do have Chad Gable. Mm-hmm. Versus Sami Zayn, and Chad Gable said that last time he was there, he beat Gunther. So watch out, Sami Zayn.
I'm looking forward to this match. We're gonna get the handshake at the beginning. It's gonna be all sportsmanlike and all sportsmanlike until one of them gets upset,
and it's gonna get competitive.
Maybe
we'll get a series out of it. Best two out of three.
I hope it's a two commercial break match.
Well, it might just be, Rich. It is Canada, after all. Mm. And what's not Canada is this podcast.
Correct.
You know, maybe we'll talk about Stand and Deliver next time, but really it's been over an hour. So I want to thank everybody for coming down here and checking out the Basement Bookers podcast, liking and subscribing. We are now currently at 67. We want to get to 69 subscribers. So if you mind just hitting up that like button and sharing with your friends helps the algorithm. And comment below what your favorite WrestleMania match is. And before Rich DeRiz signals me, I need to ask him the question, the follow-up. Now that we've spoken about WrestleMania 40 at length, what is this the greatest WrestleMania of all time?
I'm going to catch a lot of heat. Yes.
Okay. Why?
Like, there were a lot of big streaks broken. There were the two big streaks, the IC title streak and the Tribal Chief. Rock and Roman versus Cody and Seth. So many titles changing hands, right? Rhea was one of the few to retain in good, clear fashion. Strong matches. You had the Philly crowd. You had Bubba Ray Dudley with the glasses, eventually. We had tables. You had Paulie. Very, very solid card. I'm going to leave it at that.
Well, I'm going to have to disagree because I have different metrics than you.
Mm-hmm.
It's currently a tie right now. But to me, because of where I was when everything happened, the matches that I saw, the people I was with, WrestleMania 20 is the greatest WrestleMania of all time. It had Eddie Guerrero versus Kurt Angle. It had Chris Benoit, Triple H, and Shawn Michaels in a triple threat match that Benoit won and became the world heavyweight champion. It had Brock Lesnar and Goldberg booed out of the building by us. We witnessed the beginning of John Cena. John Cena beats the Big Show for the United States Championship. And it's not just that. A tag team match. The Rock and Sock Connection versus Evolution, Batista and Ric Flair in a tag team match. It had Chris Jericho versus Christian. Would Christian beat Chris Jericho and be out with Trish Stratus?
Yep.
We saw that shit. And that was not just that. The Undertaker came back. The Undertaker came back after being gone for such time. And he wrestled Kane.
Yeah.
And he beat Kane. Because I know where I was. I was at the Garden. The best seats in the house for any WrestleMania we've ever gone to.
Mm-hmm.
Together. And that is WrestleMania 20, brother. And the other one's the one I went with my wife and her sister and her and my brother-in-law. Well, my sister-in-law, whatever. Not at the time.
Yes.
And we all went there, and that's the other one. That's a tie there. CM Punk won the ladder match. The Money in the Bank ladder match.
And wow. That one.
The Undertaker caught fire at that one.
Oh.
That
was the Elimination Chamber match that he was on his way to.
Oh, no, that was another time. He almost caught fire at this one. So, but anyway, yeah, he caught fire at the Chamber one. This one, he almost caught fire. But yeah, that's my answer. So,
well, so, I mean, like the definite stacked card, but for the more sentimental reasons, yes, WrestleMania 20 will always have a very, very special place in my heart.
I remember where I was, Rich Torres.
I remember where I was.
Booing the shit out of Goldberg and Brock Lesnar.
Section 23, row A, seats 1 and 2.
Let's fucking go.
That kind of shit I remember. What I eat for breakfast yesterday? Probably yogurt. Don't remember.
Probably
anyway.
Eggs for me.
Eggs. My eggs. All right. With all that being said, let us know down below what you thought of Mania. Whether you thought this was the greatest. If you went to any Mania, let us know which one it was. Which one did you like best? All the socials are in the Patreon link down below. And Jerry's got a parting message.
The matchup life is scheduled for one fall, so make it count.
And do what the man says.
Follow the bookers. Patreon.com/BasementBookersPod.